Hare Krishna. So we are starting on the second part of day 1, 123rd of December 2013, on Bhagavad Gita by His Grace, Vamsi Vadanto. Hare Krishna.
One of our important verses of the 7th chapter. Here I just put a brief diagram about the creation. There is the Mahatattva, and then there is the Ahankar, and mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. So, anyway, they're not so relevant, not so important for this discussion at this point. Anyway, just go ahead. Okay, 7.7, important verse. Let's recite.
Matta parataramyanya kinchir asti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam protam sutre mani gana iva.
Somebody read the translation, please.
O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are stronger as well.
Okay, fine. So, this is a very important verse where Krishna is saying, Matta parataram na anyat. He's saying there's nothing more superior to me. Everything that's material, spiritual, whatever you think of in this creation is coming from me. There's no truth superior to me. Okay. So, I would just like to read the commentary of Vishnacharya Thakur, which gives a little bit, a little more insight into this verse. You will find in my presentation, I put a few Acharya's commentaries. The reason is this. There are two reasons why I do this. One reason is, it embellishes Prabhupada's purports. That means, it gives a deeper understanding of what Srila Prabhupada has given us. That's one reason. And the second reason is, actually, it's a glorification of what Srila Prabhupada has given us. When we see how Srila Prabhupada has actually given us the same message of the previous Acharyas, but in a way that is acceptable to the modern audience, it actually increases our appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. So these are two reasons why occasionally we quote a few of these of the Acharya's commentaries, and so we have to understand the fact that the basis of our study is Srila Prabhupada's purports. Okay? There's no substitute for that. But we are simply trying to enrich, and we are trying to develop a little more deeper understanding of the philosophy through a few of these commentaries. And Srila Prabhupada did allow this, and if you want a reference for that, it's in 1.1.1 purport, where Srila Prabhupada is saying that how we can study the previous Acharya's commentaries. Okay? So, but then we must always remember this, it's not a substitute for Srila Prabhupada's purports. It's simply to enrich our understanding of what Srila Prabhupada has given us. This I have taken from Surinder to me before we come to Vishnacharya Thakur's commentary on this. Can somebody read this, please?
The previous verse, Krishna told Arjuna that he is the creator and the destroyer. Now Krishna explains that he is also the maintainer. Krishna maintains everything, but no one can see him. As both of sun and the same thread, all the universes are being maintained by Krishna, who is also unseen. This is also a way to understand Krishna. He not only creates and destroys, but also he is the potency that is holding everything together.
Yes. So here, Krishna himself is giving this wonderful example of pearl strung on a thread. Just like if you have a necklace, you see the pearls, but what you cannot see? The thread. But what is holding the pearls together? The thread. So Krishna is also like that. Krishna is holding everything together. This whole world, this whole universe, the whole creation is running so perfectly. If the seasons are changing, the sun is rising, the ocean is within limits, the wind is blowing, everything is happening. How? It's because Krishna is behind that. But then everyone asks, where is Krishna? We can't see Krishna. Where is Krishna? So therefore Krishna is saying, I am like the unseen thread. Yes. Just like the thread. You can't see the thread, but yet the thread is holding all the boats together. So similarly, Krishna also, he is unseen, but he is the one who is holding the entire creation together. That's why Krishna himself is very beautifully giving this analogy to explain this point. So he is the creator, he is the destroyer, he is the maintainer, but still no one can see him. Right? That's why he gives this beautiful example. He is the potency that is holding everything together. Okay, now this is the Vishnu Acharya Thakur's commentary. Yes, can somebody read this please? Maybe you can use the microphone.
Because of this I am everything. There is nothing other than me. Because I am the cause and the effect, and because I am both the Shakti and the Shaktiman. First two lines he speaks about his own identity with everything. Then he speaks about his entrance into everything. Because of this I am everything. That is expressed in this verse. There is nothing other than me, because I am both the cause and the effect, and because I am both the Shakti and Shaktiman. As the Shruti says, Ekam Evat Vitya Brahma. There is only one Brahman and nothing else. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.2. Having thus spoken about his own identity with everything in the first line of the verse, the Lord then speaks about his entrance into everything in the second line.
Right. So here, what Vishnu Acharya Thakur is trying to explain is, in the first part of the verse, that is Matta Parataram Na Anyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya, Krishna is saying that he is the creator, the maintainer of everything, right? Everything is coming from him. But by giving this example of the pearls, Sutre Manikana Ima, he is indicating also this point, that how he not only creates everything, but he also enters into everything as the most important active principle. Right? And for this, the whole next section, Krishna gives examples to essentially explain this point. How he not only creates everything, but he enters into everything as the most important ingredient or the most active principle. Just like, so therefore, so the point is, I am the cause and the effect, or I am both the Shakti and the Shaktiman. The Shakti refers to his energies. The cause and the effect. The effect refers to his energies. Right? So of course, to explain this concept, the whole next section is there, and I think so we will explain it in a little more detail when we go into the next section. But essentially the point is this, that how the fact of the pearls, the example of the pearls and the thread also is explaining this concept, that how when Krishna, we can understand Krishna has created this universe, Krishna has created water, Krishna has created sun, Krishna has created moon. Maybe that is in one sense a little easy to understand. But then, to go deeper and understand that how Krishna actually is also the light of the sun, the light of the moon, the taste of water, that is also Krishna. Right? So that is energy. Cause refers to the cause. That's the creator. Krishna is the creator. Krishna is the creator of water, is the creator of sun, creator of moon. What are the effects? The effect is manifested in these different energies. So Krishna is Shaktiman, and then he has energies in the form of Shakti. Right? But Krishna, he is the cause of both he is Shaktiman as well as he is the Shakti. He is the cause and he is also the effect. And the whole next section is to explain this principle. Krishna himself is giving a few examples. Okay? And I think so with those examples, it will become more clear. So this is... a continuation of the same commentary. Somebody please.
The all too common idea is that beyond all phenomena, beyond even God, there is something beyond, something higher, something more ultimate is laid to rest here. For Krishna declares that there is no truth or truth superior to him. Interestingly enough, Srila Prabhupada quotes three verses from the Svetasvarathara Upanishad to first show the impersonalist line of reasoning and then to counter such spacious logic. The word Purusha appears in two of the three verses, clearly indicating personality.
Right, so you can see in his purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes three verses, 3.8 to 9, it's two verses actually, not three. Two verses from the Shvetashvara Upanishad, and in both these verses you find the word Purushaha, right? Vedaham etam purusham. And in the next verse also, Tenedam purnam purushena sarvam. So both these verses indicate personality. There is a person who is behind everything. There is no truth superior to him. So there is nothing beyond Krishna. Okay, so then it becomes essential for us to, as if we say that Krishna is everything, Krishna is everywhere, are we able to perceive that? Krishna is the creator of everything material, everything spiritual. Okay, so there's a small question, a few questions for discussion. Do we do our services always thinking about Krishna? What does Deity wear today?
Yellow.
Which deities are you talking about in the first place? Yes, bro?
She's wearing like a royal blue dress.
Mm-hmm.
And
two ladies
wearing something red, and Indian
legs wearing this very beautiful yellow. Okay. And what about the Panchatattva? Hmm?
Vijayana is wearing blue. Mm-hmm.
What about
Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Gauranga
is wearing
yellow.
Really?
I don't remember the details of Gauranga, but I remember Sunanda was very nice blue, so he talked also.
Okay, fine. So the point is then, yes, if we meditate on this, then it helps us to actually remember Krishna. So the point is, what are some of the ways we can remember Krishna during the day while we engage in practical service? Okay, so fine. So quickly turn to your neighbors and have a small discussion on this, maybe for the next 3 minutes, as to what are some of the ways we can remember Krishna during the day while we engage in practical services. So just turn to your neighbors and maybe you just make a small list of what are the different ways we can remember Krishna. Okay, Hare Krishna. Oh, you made such a big group?
Yeah.
Just two. Just turn to you. Okay, you want? Okay, fine, good. No problem. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. I think so that's enough time. Okay, Hare Krishna, can we have attention please?
Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you for your being so enrapt in the discussion. Okay, so somebody would like to jot down a few points here? Okay, so who would like to begin? Yeah?
At Lavia we have, well, among our points we have...
Just one.
Honoring Prasad. We can taste Krishna's love.
Okay, fine. Prasadam. Okay, what else? Yes, sir.
Trying to understand the essence in things, in all things.
Give some practical examples. Practical.
For example, why do you buy, nicely looking curtains? Because they are nicely looking. Nice look in the curtain, Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see Krishna in the curtain.
Okay, so, that's fine. But then, the question is, what are some of the ways we can remove Krishna in the day while we engage in practical service? Okay, so in other words, okay, while we purchase curtains, so what do we see?
The essence.
What is the essence?
The beauty of Krishna is empowered in material.
It's trying to understand the essence in all things, the idea of why.
Well, this is correct, but we are trying to understand this point. Yes, okay, so while we are purchasing curtains, okay, fine, it's something very practical. So while we are purchasing curtains?
Beautiful curtains.
So why beautiful curtains?
Yes, because they're beautiful.
So why beautiful? Why we have to purchase beautiful curtains and not otherwise?
Because we like beauty.
Why? Why do we want? Because suppose this is not just a classroom. Say for example, this is a temple room. Okay? Say for example, just imagine this is a temple room, and okay, so then you want to have beautiful curtains for what?
For Krishna.
For Krishna's pleasure, right? For Krishna's pleasure. To the point. There you go. Thank you for the enactment of the deities in the temple room. Hare Krishna. So the point is that yes, so. So while purchasing curtains, we are thinking of Krishna's pleasure, right?
Yes.
We want to ultimately please Krishna. We are not seeing anything separate from Krishna. So even if this doesn't happen to be actually the temple room, but still it's a part of the temple, right? And so the important point is that the focus that we are thinking about Krishna while we are doing any activity. So the question is, so how do we think of Krishna while performing the activity? So one thing is so we are performing the activity to please Krishna. So the thought that okay, we want to perform this activity for pleasing Krishna. Okay, so you write that down. So you say that thinking of pleasing Krishna. Okay, fine.
You can quiz each other on the philosophy. You can test each other on the philosophy. Discuss the philosophy while you're doing service.
Okay, fine. Philosophical discussion. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Chanting the holy names.
Okay, chanting the holy names. So the second point, third point is philosophical discussion. Chanting the holy names. Probably the easiest way to remember Krishna. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, distributing books. Okay, fine. Okay, so now if you explain that, while distributing books, how will remember Krishna?
Well, after explaining to the guest that Krishna is supreme
Mm-hmm. Okay, so preaching. Can we say preaching?
Yeah.
Yeah. So preaching or kirtanam. That's an important. That's a wonderful way in which we can remember Krishna. Yes, Radha Krishna.
Cleaning the temple.
Okay, cleaning the temple, okay, singing or chanting, kirtan, yes?
Making small reminders such as like pictures of, on your screensaver, on your wall,
Yes, that's right, yes, that's a good way of remembering Krishna, pictures.
Deity worship.
Yes, deity worship.
Prayer.
Huh?
Prayer.
Prayers, okay, prayers.
You can play lectures from your phone.
Okay, lectures. Okay, so fine. So there's so many different ways. Yes, yes, that's good. Reciting shlokas. Yes. Okay, we'll take one.
Learning how to play a musical instrument to
sing
about.
Okay, fine. So it comes from in kirtan. Okay, last one.
Last one is thinking of whether I get the best treat in my prasadamana.
Okay, so prasadam is covered. Okay, fine, thank you. Okay, thank you, Prabhu. That's good. Okay. So, yeah, so the important point is while performing so many different activities within our daily service, we can try different ways and means by which we can think of Krishna, because that's the ultimate goal of Sadhanabhakti. What's the goal of Sadhanabhakti?
Always remember Krishna.
Yes, always remember Krishna, never forget that. So now, in the next section, we find Krishna actually describing how he is the essence of everything. So the same philosophical point which Krishna spoke in the 7th verse, he is actually describing that through different examples from 8 to 12. So we'll just recite the 8th verse. Before we come to this. Rasam apsu kaunteya prabhasmi shashi suryayo pranava sarva vedeshu shabdake paurusham rishu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable om in the Vedic mantras, I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Srila Prabhupada beginning his purport by saying, this verse explains how the Lord is all pervasive by his diverse material and spiritual energies. The Supreme Lord can be preliminarily perceived by his different energies, and in this way he is realized impersonally. Right? The impersonal aspect of the Lord can be perceived through his different energies. Right? So here are these different examples Krishna is giving to explain that how, just like water, we understand that Krishna is the creator of water. But what is the most important aspect of the water?
Taste.
The taste. That's the most important aspect. So if there was no, just the problem is saying in the purport, if the water is salty, like sea water, can you drink? And in fact, If you're thirsty, if you're really thirsty, what is it that quenches thirst?
Water.
Right, when you're very thirsty, if somebody gives you, say, some mango juice or, you know, something like that, something like, you know, maybe to some degree it quenches, but really, or somebody gives you a glass of milk when you're really thirsty, does it serve the purpose?
No.
Even cold.
Yeah. Okay. But then really, it's water. It's water which actually quenches thirst. Why? Because of the taste in water. And so therefore, what is the cause of that taste within water?
Krishna.
So Krishna is the cause of water, and he is also the effect. The effect is the taste. So that's how Krishna is present both personally as well as impersonally through his energies. So similarly, the light of the sun and the moon. Krishna is the creator. He is the cause of the sun. He is the cause of the moon. But Krishna is also present within the sunshine and the moonshine. So he's present within the cause as well as within the effect. So that's what we read Vishnu Chaitanya's commentary, that he's both the Shaktiman as well as the Shakti. He's both. But then, Prabhupada gives an example. Just like there is a sun. Now we say the sun rays are entering the room. Okay? We say the sun rays are entering the room. Is it as good as saying the sun has entered the room? Okay, so some of you are saying yes and no. So can you please explain your answer? Who would like to explain? Okay, Mike.
It's not that the whole planet entered the room, but it seems like it's not that yet. Without the sunshine, without the sun itself, you can't have any sunshine in your room.
Yeah, that's right. It is simultaneously yes and no. Because if you say the sun has entered the room, if the actual sun globe were to enter the room, what would happen? We would not be alive, right? But at the same time, when we say the sun has entered the room, we also mean that the sunshine has entered the room. So this is essentially the Achintya Bhed Abheda Sattva. Simultaneous oneness and difference. So there is, we understand that Krishna is present as the cause of the sun, but he is also present within his energies. But the energy is not equal to the energetic. Right? The energy is not equal to the cause of the energy is the energetic, but at the same time, the energy is not equal to the energetic. Understand the point? So there is a simultaneous oneness and a just like Prabhupada gave the example. When you see my spectacles, what does it remind you of? Okay. Obviously, right? Okay, so Prabhupada is indicating the point that okay, you see my spectacles, it reminds you of him, of Prabhupada. But is the spectacles Prabhupada?
No.
So the spectacles in one sense represents the energy of Prabhupada. Prabhupada also gave another example of the words, right? His vani. So we're hearing Prabhupada's words. A recorded lecture. So what does it remind us of? Prabhupada. So are the words Prabhupada? Again, it's a yes and no. But then the point is that the words represent the energy of Prabhupada. Okay? But at the same time, we understand that it is not Prabhupada. So there is a simultaneous oneness as well as difference. So therefore, Krishna is present in the both the cause and the effect. And so through all these examples, Krishna is showing how he is present in the effect through his energies. And therefore, Prabhupada writes this very important statement within his purport that actually there is no difference between personism and impersonalism. Within the same purport, you can see this important statement. Further down in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the impersonalist perceives the presence of the Lord in water by its taste, and the personalist also glorifies the Lord for his kindly supplying tasty water to quench man's thirst. That is the way of perceiving the Supreme. Practically speaking, there is no conflict between personalism and impersonalism. Because in everything that we see, there's a personal aspect and an impersonal aspect. Just like within Krishna himself, there is a personal aspect and there's an impersonal aspect. What is the impersonal aspect? What is the impersonal aspect of Krishna? The Brahma Jyoti. Right? The Brahma Jyoti is the impersonal aspect of Krishna. So similarly, within everything, there's a personal aspect and there's an impersonal aspect. So we understand, yes, there is a sun and there is the impersonal aspect, that is the sunshine. But Krishna is the cause of both, the sun as well as the sunshine. He is the cause of both, the moon as well as the moonshine. So that's how he is present both within the cause as well as within the effect. But here, what is being explained here through all these different examples is how we can perceive Krishna through all the effects that we see around us, and that will actually help us to remember Krishna. That's the reason why Krishna is giving these different examples to illustrate this point that how Krishna is the cause of everything. We cannot separate anything from Krishna. And that's the reason why Krishna is giving these various examples. These are Krishna's vibhutis. These are his opulences that he is explaining here. He is explaining how he is the cause of everything. There is nothing which you can separate from Krishna. And therefore he is giving the further examples also. And towards the end of this purport. And before that, towards the end of this first paragraph, Prabhupada writes, "One who knows God knows the impersonal conception and the personal conception are simultaneously present in everything, and there is no contradiction. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya established the sublime doctrine, Achintya Bheda Abheda Tattva, simultaneous oneness and difference." Right? So within all these effects that we see, so it is simultaneously Krishna, but it is not that Krishna is actually present there. There's also another interesting example that is given. Prabhupada gave this example sometimes. Just like sometimes maybe there's a mother whose son has passed away, and the mother sees the child's shoes and she begins to cry. Why?
The shoes remind her of the son.
Yes, the shoes remind her of the son. But are the shoes her son? No. So there's a simultaneous oneness and difference. So we can say the shoes are the sun, but actually it's an energy. It's an expansion of that sun, right? So there's a simultaneous oneness and difference. So that's the relationship between the energy and the energetic. So there is the energetic, and there is the energy which is coming from the energetic. The energy reminds us of the energetic, but at the same time, it is not that the energy is the energetic. So there is a simultaneous oneness. What is the oneness? What is the oneness? The oneness is that it's coming from Krishna. Everything is coming from Krishna. But what is the difference? Yes, it is the energy and not Krishna himself, personally. Yes, Shakti, Shaktiman. It is the energy of the Lord, but it is not the Lord. But from where is the energy coming? From the Lord. So that's how we see the connection. So therefore, that's how there is simultaneous oneness and difference. Yes, yeah, so it's the same thing. That's what we're trying to understand. So there's a simultaneous oneness and difference.
But do they see the person Krishna or not?
Yes, a pure devotee, he can see, for example, okay, this lecture by Srila Prabhupada, I think so, gives a wonderful example to that. Please read.
Similarly, Krishna said,
Similarly, Krishna said, Prabhati Shashi Shurvayo, I am the supreme, I am the sunshine, moonshine. So who has not seen the sunshine? If you have seen the sunshine, and if you follow this prescription given by Krishna, then early in the morning you will see Krishna. Why do you say that? I have not seen Krishna. Krishna is not present before me.
Go ahead.
But you follow Krishna's instruction and he will be present. He is present, simply we have to purify our eyes and senses to understand him. That is required. Similarly, in this way, if you develop your dormant love of Krishna, you will see Krishna in every moment.
You got your answer?
No.
Sorry.
What Prabhupada is trying to say is, if you see the sun, yes, in one sense, it should remind us of Krishna. Right? But is the sun Krishna? What would you say? Is the sun Krishna?
The sun light.
The sun glow. You see the sun glow.
No.
Is that sun Krishna?
No.
No. Can it remind you of Krishna?
If you're very intelligent.
Yes, if you understand the philosophy. If you understand the philosophy and you have some realization, it can remind you of Krishna. That's what Srila Prabhupada is trying to say here. Because, and that is why there is this whole concept of the Virat Rupa. Right? The whole concept of the Virat Rupa, which we of course study in the Bhagavatam, is meant for that. So that if we are not able to directly remember Krishna, think of Krishna, then by seeing something within material nature, it should help us to remind us of Krishna. So therefore it says, the sun and the moon are the two eyes of Krishna. So you see the sun, and if you know this, that okay, the sun is the eye of Krishna. So as soon as you see the sun, what will happen? It will remind us of Krishna. Right? And we can also think that who is the cause of the sun? Krishna. So that's how, by seeing everything within nature, when we see how Krishna, he is the cause of everything. Krishna himself is not, there's so many different views and perceptions how we can view this. On one hand we can say Krishna is present within every atom. Right? Andantarastam paramanu chayantarastam. He's present within every paramanu, every atom he's present. So yes, Krishna is present everywhere. Krishna is present in every atom. So is Krishna not present in the sun? That's also one way to view it. But of course, that is not as Krishna Shamsundar form, that's as Shirodarshan Vishnu. But the point is that why Krishna is describing all this, to make this point that how he is actually present, he is the cause of everything. Right? So that's how when we see the energy, that's why we gave this example. The mother is seeing the shoes of the sun. What does it remind the mother of? The sun. We are hearing the words of Srila Prabhupada. What does it remind us of? Srila Prabhupada. So that is the energy. But when we know the source of that energy, it will remind us of the energetic. It will remind us of the source of that energy. Isn't it? That's why Krishna is saying, I am the cause of the sun, and I'm also the cause of the sunshine. I'm the cause of the moon, as well as I'm the cause of the moonshine. Because the most important aspect of the sun and the moon are sunshine and moonshine. We are able to appreciate the sun and the moon because of sunshine and moonshine. If the sun and the moon did not have the sunshine and the moonshine, would we be able to appreciate them? No. They would be useless practically. Therefore, Krishna is saying the most important aspect of any object is me. I am the cause of that. That is how Krishna is present everywhere, in everything. He is the cause. He is not present within the sunshine, but he is the cause of the sunshine. Right? So when we see the sunshine, it can remind us of Krishna, who is the cause of that. Right? So that's how this should explain the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Simultaneously oneness and difference. Oneness because Krishna is the cause of that. It should remind us of Krishna, but at the same time Krishna is not actually present there. That is what we are trying to explain through these various examples.
So when they say to people that it is said that they see Krishna everywhere, does it mean that they see the connection with Krishna, meaning that they can connect the energy with Krishna?
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't mean that they see the personality of Krishna everywhere.
They could see that also. It depends on one's level of realization.
Really? Like many Krishnas?
Yeah, at every moment. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hrudayeshu vilokayanti. What does that mean? Santa sadaiva. Sadaiva means always. They are always thinking of Krishna within their hearts. But if somebody is not on that platform, then yes, through these different energies of Krishna within the creation, one can try and perceive Krishna within everything. Right? So, yes, one could be on that platform where one is actually seeing Krishna everywhere. One can actually see Shyam Sundar form of Krishna at every moment. Yes, that is the highest realization. That is the Uttamadhikari. The Uttamadhikari is one who is able to see that. But even if one is not on that platform, still there is a way. How? By seeing the connection. Right? One can see the connection of everything with Krishna. Okay? Okay, fine. So we'll just go through the other examples Krishna is giving. Just hold on for some time. Okay? We'll take questions after we just finish the section. And so therefore in the ninth verse Krishna is saying, I am the original fragrance of the earth, I am the heat and fire, I am the life of all that lives, and I am the penances of all ascetics. Okay? So he's describing that how the And Srila Prabhupada is giving a very beautiful purport. Punya means that which is not decomposed. Punya is original. And then he explains that how there are flowers which are growing from the earth. Does somebody inject some fragrances, some perfumes into the flowers? No. There's so many flowers with so many beautiful fragrances. How are they getting the fragrances? Because earth has the original fragrance. Therefore, the most important aspect of the earth is the fragrance. And it is that fragrance which the flowers get. So when you smell a flower, that fragrance of the flower. So we can ask ourselves this question. From where did this flower get its fragrance? From Krishna. Right? And that's how, by seeing the effects, by seeing the energies of Krishna everywhere, that should remind us of Krishna. Seeing that how Krishna is the cause of everything. And then similarly fire, and the heat in fire. If fire didn't have heat, obviously that would not be fire. And that heat is required for everything, whether you call it electricity, or whether it's fire which is used in the stove, or it's the fire of digestion within the stomach. All that is Krishna. Right? If Krishna doesn't digest the food, we cannot. And Krishna, of course, explains that in another verse in a further chapter. 10th verse. Bijam mam sarva bhutanam viddhi partha sanatanam buddhir buddhimatam asmi tejas tejas vinamaham. O son of Pritha, know that I am the original seed of all existence, the intelligence of the intelligent, and the prowess of all powerful men. And 11th verse, Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma virudha bhuteshu kamosmi vartarshaba. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles, O Lord of Bharatas. Okay, so the point is, because if one uses sex life simply for the procreation of Krishna conscious children, as Prabhupada explained so many times, so then because one is following the Vedic principles there which are originally given by Krishna, right, so that is how sex life which is used for procreation of Krishna conscious children, Krishna says, I am that, because it is his instruction in the Vedas to have regulated sense gratification for the purpose of purification. So because it is his instruction within the Shastras, therefore Krishna is saying that regulated sense gratification is also me. Because it is his instruction in the Vedas, because he knows that ultimately everyone will not be able to renounce. So Krishna has said, okay, fine, if you're not able to renounce sense gratification, totally no problem, but still you can have regulated sense gratification. That is his injunction within Shastra. That is dharma. Right? And so, because it is his injunction in the Shastra, therefore Krishna is saying, that is also me. Okay? Okay, fine. So, we'll just have a small exercise just to further enhance our understanding of this. So, we have a few chips within my packet. I have a few chips. and there is a topic on which you are supposed to speak. Okay, this is an extempo speech. You know what is extempo, right? Yes, without preparation. Okay, so on the spot. Okay, so fine. So, do you have that name list? That attendance?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Maybe. Can you please write? Okay, fine. So till the time that okay, the sheet has come. Hold on. Okay, so anyway, any volunteers? Somebody would like to go first. Okay, fine. Michael, please come. Yeah, please come ahead. Pick one of these. You can pick one of these. Open it. What do you have there? Okay. So there's lotus written over there. So how you can link this up with Shastra? What all you can think of lotus in relation to Shastra?
Okay, I'm not so Shastra King French. That's close to the
let's see.
So, let's see.
Okay, you have to. Okay, go
ahead. So, the idea at least of a lotus is that a lotus can exist within the water or within a particular fluid, but not actually be affected by that water. So the idea anyway is that the soul who can become Krishna conscious can be in the material world but not of the material world. Must be spoken from God.
Yeah.
Krishna says that the one of Bilamakri Ashada, so his material energy or his external energy is apparel, which basically means that it's inferior. So the idea is that a soul by nature is superior. But when he's put under the material influence, he basically acts on an inferior level. But by nature it's superior. But it's up to the actual soul itself to become Krishna conscious and realize his position as being superior.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost as if, just to give an analogy, it's like each individual soul, because it's part of Krishna, it's like each individual person is like a millionaire. But he's lost his debit card. You know that, right? So he's a millionaire, he's actually rich by nature, he's unaffected, he's liberated, he's full of vibrancy and spiritual value, but he's lost his debit card. So you can't access the actual power or potency of the soul. So Krishna consciousness, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, can at once put the soul back into, well, help the soul to realize its real identity so that it can act on its platform of being within the material world but not necessarily of the material world. And he's liberated and he's free from the material temptations he's free from the material temptations and material bombardment and all the different types of material influences from the soul to the...
Okay, the okay, world. Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Hari Bol! Just like there was that reminder, it is 1 o'clock. What we are trying to do is give reminders of how we can remember Krishna while being in this material world. Okay? So that's what we are trying to do. So here there's an example of lotus. Probably you give a very nice example. This is a verse in the 5th chapter right? Padma Patram Ivambasa. Krishna is giving this example of how one can be in the material world but not be affected, just like the lotus, even when being within water is not affected. Are there any other, can you relate lotus to some other Shastric examples or Shastric philosophical points? Okay.
Krishna is known as
Padmanabha. Yes. Only navel? Mm-hmm. Right. Queen Kunti is saying, you know, every part of the body she is comparing to the lotus. Every part. When we think of lotus, then we can see that how every aspect of the Lord's body is so beautiful that's compared to what is considered to be the most beautiful within this material world, and that's the lotus. Actually, it is said, the Lord is so beautiful, there is no material comparison to the Lord's beauty. But because the lotus is the most beautiful within this material creation, therefore, it's compared to the lotus. Okay, any other examples? Can you think of anything else in relation to the lotus from Shastra? Yes, sir.
I remember that in Madhurya Kandasini, Sri Vishnu said that now when I realize you, my analogy to lotus is actually offensive.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so that's the same point which I was trying to make, that actually it's not a good comparison, but there's no better comparison. Therefore, yeah. Anything else in relation to the lotus can you think of? Yes.
We are singing Govinda Madhi Purusham. Like I was just getting kept on like, so it's like Arvindu Malari Saksham. So like it's like a, it's written like a lotus petal. So
okay, fine. That's also describing the beauty of the Lord. Anything else?
We have the big chart right where it shows spiritual world and
Right. The spiritual world is like lotus. Golok Vrindavan is in the shape of lotus, right? Yes. So that's also good. So like this, we can see that. And I just gave one example of the lotus stem in the morning.
Yeah. What was that again?
Okay. Just like the within the stem of the lotus, there are capillaries. The capillaries are inbuilt within the stem of lotus. Similarly, inbuilt within detachment is jnana, knowledge. Okay. And also there is this example that's told. That is the honeybee goes from flower to flower and then enters the lotus. But then what happens? The lotus closes in the evening when the sun sets and the bee gets trapped. So that's given as an example of how if one is greedy, if one is too greedy, like the honeybee is too greedy getting nectar, then one can actually be destroyed. So these are so many different examples. So we can think of so many different Shastic truths simply by anything. And in fact, this is what is called as Shastra Chakshu, where, and we see how Srila Prabhupada, whatever he would see, he would connect that to Krishna. You can think of any proper pastime? Yes, true.
I was thinking about the one about somebody was drinking wine and someone was asking if they couldn't give up wine, and Prabhupada said that if you just think of Krishna every time you drink that wine, then it almost becomes like Krishna consciousness.
Okay, fine.
The first time I read, and on a morning walk, Prabhupada saw some sort of bird feeding. And he said, what's this? And the type of like, Prabhupada, you know, sort of like the bird. It's like, this proves that even the bird can get attached.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yep, Prabhupada was just seeing bird droppings, and then he made this point that how this shows that the bird's on top of the tree and they're attached to the tree. They're there here since a long time. So whatever Prabhupada would see, actually he would link that up to some Shastric philosophical truth. That is what is Shastra Chakshu. That is how we can relate everything to Krishna directly and indirectly. Okay, fine. So Michael Brook, maybe you can come forward and you choose the next speaker.
I've already chosen him.
No, but you have to close your eyes. and you point to somewhere on this chart. Close your eyes. Okay, so this is Nityananda Ram Prabhu. Okay, so you can take one. Yeah, thank you very much. Hari Bol. Okay, somebody would like to add to that? What else can you think of? Yes, Prabhu.
Moon gives juice to them.
Yeah, that's the point basically what he was mentioning, that how the moonlight gives juice and the vegetables and plants, and that's how we are surviving. Okay.
Gaurachandra.
Yes, Gaurachandra. Okay. Yes. Yes. Koti Chandra Shushitala. Okay, fine. Okay, Mayapu Chandra. Anything else? Okay, Purnima. Okay, fine. Okay, one of the eyes of Krishna. Huh? What else? What else?
Somrasaju.
Okay.
There's a rabbit in the moon.
Okay, what does that indicate?
There's a rabbit in the moon. And the moon is giving so much light, and on the moon there may be spots, but that spots does not diminish the light of the moon. So similarly within a Vaishnava, there may be some bad qualities, but that does not diminish the light illumination that that devotee is distributing and illuminating the entire world! So Lord Krishna is my devotee and my attention.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a good example. Okay, fine. Yeah, so these are some of the things which we can relate to Shastra when we think of the moon. Okay, fine. I think so we can have, would you like to come and choose the next speaker?
Me?
No.
Okay. Turn the page. Close your eyes?
No, close my eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the drag of the whole
thing. Okay. Announcement?
I take your word.
No, no. Okay, it is Mahabhavi Prabhu. Okay, fine.
The sun, the subject is honeybee. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I just spoke something of the honeybee just now.
Flying from flower to flower, collecting a little here, a little there, just looking for the nectar.
Yes.
Not taking anything for himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a good point. Would you like to relate that with something philosophical?
Yes. We do so many things for Krishna. We are not attached maybe to the result.
Mm-hmm.
We give them up to Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine, thank you. Hari Bol. Thank you. And of course, the easiest thing to think of is who created the honeybee anyway. So yes, Krishna created the honeybee. Okay, any other points about the honeybee? Yes, Prabhu.
As two points where the honeybee is heard.
Okay.
But I don't know where it is in the scripture.
No problem.
So one is that a bee, when he's going around flying the whole day, the only thing that he's doing is searching for that pure, nice looking flower.
Mm-hmm.
While at the same time the fly is just looking the whole day for stool. Mm. And so we are referring to, I believe it is the devotees.
Yes.
Who are looking for this purity in life. The supreme, you know, the highest perfection of life.
Yeah, that's a good point. Very nice point. Yeah. So what's the devotee looking for? He's looking for the good qualities of others, right?
Yes.
He's not interested in seeing the bad. He wants to see the good qualities. Just like the honeybee is, even though there may be a huge pile of garbage, but the honeybee goes to the flower to get the nectar. So similarly, the devotee is always sees the good qualities, it doesn't see the bad. Yeah. What's the second point?
Also in one lecture I heard that they're referring to the bees, they're all day working,
mm.
They have whole societies around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes them like months to establish, like, I don't know...
The honeycomb. The honeycomb.
The honeycomb. It takes them so much time and so much effort. And then the imker is called in Dutch, I don't know how he calls it, the guy.
The farmer.
The farmer, yeah. The farmer, he just comes and he takes everything away.
Yeah. So? Yeah, that's a good point actually, both are very nice Shastric examples. Yeah, so this indicates that how people of this world also, they're working so hard, day and night to accumulate, but at the end, it's all taken away. Right? So yes, very nice. Both are good philosophical points. I think both these points are spoken by the Avadhut Brahman in 11th canto. Okay, thank you very much. So Mahabhavi Prabhu, would you like to come and choose the next speaker? Just one more speaker. Thanks to the one who invented. Okay. Okay, you can choose from here. Yes.
Radha
Kunpru. Okay, Radha Kunpru.
Kadamatri, we can remember Krishna. About the one example.
Okay.
Because Krishna is color and Kadamatri is like kind of same. Not exactly. It is same and Krishna is kind of same.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Kadamatri, we can remember Krishna.
Okay, what else? There are three actually, many examples.
Yeah.
And then one analogy is, just by watering the tree, all the branches and then everything is...
Watering the what?
Watering the root of the tree. Everything is nourished. Similarly, by serving Krishna, everything is satisfied.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Hari Bol. Okay, something more. Lot of hands up. Maybe we can, may I request those who have not yet spoken till now to kindly think of some examples and speak? Three is, so many things can be spoken. Okay, yes, Prabhu. Yes. What's the verse? Yes. Sranadapi sunichena tarori vasavishna. Actually, it's not humility. It's basically tolerance. Tolerance more than humility. Yes, Prabhu.
I was thinking of the island's devotional service,
the worship of trees. Yes, worship of sacred trees, right? Like banyan tree, one of the items of devotional service. Yes. I hold it for you.
I mean, the mic is very loud in my ear.
Okay, I'm
having a headache. I'm sorry. The material world is compared to a tree, which is reflecting the original tree of which is the spiritual world.
Yes, very good, very nice. Yeah? The material world is compared to the reflection of the banyan tree. Yes, very nice. What else? Yes, Prabhu.
The devotee is like the desire
tree. Okay, devotee is like the desire tree. What do we say? Yes, one circle with the root. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Vedas are desire tree.
Yes, the Vedas are like desire tree. Yes, very good. What else? You already spoke. Hold on.
The Samal Krishna tree.
The Samal tree.
Oh,
the
Samal tree.
Okay. What does the Samal tree remind you of? What does the Samal tree remind you of?
Samal tree.
Okay, other than that.
In the spiritual, there is a tree where, Srimad Radha Rani
Okay, basically the Samal tree is, it's the same color as Krishna, okay, it's reminding you of Krishna. Okay, yes, Prabhu.
Gaudiya Vaishnava is compared as a tree.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good point. Okay, there's a whole Chaitanya tree described in the Chaitanya Chaitanya. One last point.
The fruits of a tree are the great fruits of a tree. Similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam is like the
ripe and fruit of. Okay, good. Yeah, that's nice. Okay, fine. Thank you. Hari Bol. Okay, so in this way we can see that practically anything and everything that we see around us, we can relate that to Krishna. Okay? And that's what Krishna is telling, that practically He is everything, directly or indirectly. Okay? So directly He is the cause of everything, indirectly He can be perceived through the effects, right, through His energies. Okay, so that is the section from 8 to 12. Okay, this is the letter from Saran to me, basically what we already discussed. We should appreciate Krishna not only as the cause of everything, but also the essence of everything. Okay, so that's the point that we will discuss. We already discussed the point of it. Okay, this is some additional verses to say that because Krishna is saying that He is the creator of everything, of all the living, so some additional verses to substantiate the point from the 10th chapter. Okay, some few verses. This is the exercise that we just did. And here Srila Prabhupada is making this important point here actually. The jurisdiction of Krishna consciousness extends everywhere. And one who knows Krishna consciousness is blessed. This is purport of text 8. Right, so that's an important statement. So jurisdiction of Krishna consciousness extends everywhere. So anything and everything practically we can relate to Krishna. Okay, now here, before we come to this example, the 12th verse. In the 12th verse, Krishna is saying, know that all states of being, be they goodness, passion or ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they, on the contrary, are within me. So Krishna is saying, I am the cause of the three modes. I have created them, but I am not influenced by them. Right? So the Lord has created the three modes, which are manifestations also of Prakriti. He is independent. He says, I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they are within me. That means basically He is controlling the modes. Krishna is the creator of the modes. He is controlling the modes, but Krishna is not affected by the modes. Again, so this is a good example to illustrate this point. So this is this pastime is the pastime of Ashwatthama. We all know when Ashwatthama, he killed the five sleeping sons of Draupadi, and then what did he do?
He released
the Brahmastra. He released the Brahmastra. And then afterwards we know that basically he was later on, but we see that how he was captured by Krishna and Arjuna. And so we see that when he was captured, Krishna and Arjuna were both very angry at Ashwatthama, but still there is a difference. Something like to read?
Both Arjuna and Lord Shri Krishna are described here in angry mood, but Arjuna's eyes were like balls of red copper, whereas the eyes of the Lord were like lotuses. This means that the angry mood of Arjuna and that of the Lord are not on the same level. The Lord is transcendent, and thus He is absolute in any stage. His anger is not like the anger of a conditioned living being within the modes of qualitative material nature. Because He is absolute, both His anger and pleasure are the same. His anger is not exhibited in the three modes of material nature. It is only a sign of His bent of mind towards the cause of His devotee, because that is His transcendental nature. Therefore, even if He is angry, the object of anger is blessed. He is unchanged in all circumstances.
Thank you. Right, so we find here, so both Krishna and Arjuna were angry with Ashwatthama, but Krishna's eyes were still described as beautiful lotus petals. They were not affected by the anger, but it said Arjuna's eyes were like copper red balls. So because why? Because the anger of a living entity is under the influence of the modes, whereas Krishna, he never comes under the influence of the modes. And so of course it is described that even a pure devotee sometimes may get angry, but that anger is not influenced by the modes, but that may be, as it said over here, a sign of his bent of mind towards the cause of his devotee. So essentially, we find Srila Prabhupada also, different pastimes of how Prabhupada exhibited anger, but what was his purpose? Yes, the purpose was either preaching or to benefit someone else essentially, right? It was to benefit the devotee or to benefit someone. So it was not influenced by the modes. And there's this beautiful pastime, especially very significant pastime, which indicates this point. Somebody knows that pastime which happened in Amsterdam? The temple opening at Amsterdam? Okay, yes. Fine, you would like to say?
So the devotees were going to install Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, and they had erected a big canopy for an altar, and Prabhupada told them to bring the pushpa. Was that the occasion? He said, bring the pushpa, bring the pushpa. Everybody knows pushpa means flowers, right? They need flowers to decorate the altar. So the devotees didn't know what the pushpa meant, so maybe Prabhupada wants us to cook pushpa rice. You know? So they cooked the rice, and then Prabhupada came, and all the TV reporters are there and everything with television cameras, and Prabhupada is saying, what are you doing? I came here to install the Supreme Lord, and all of you, you're nonsense, you're not doing anything properly. Where's the pushpa? And they brought out the rice, and Prabhupada says, this is not proper, this is not good. He was chastising everyone right in front of all the television cameras. He didn't care.
Okay, fine. There's a little more to come to this philosophical point. Of course, there was something not only about the pushpa, Prabhupada asked where are the fruits, and the temple person said the fruits went in the fruit salad. Right? So, there were no flowers, there were no fruits, and Prabhupada was furious, and what happened was something very interesting after that. So, Prabhupada was so furious, was angry, was chastising, he didn't care who was watching the TV reporters. And then, there was a hippie there, totally new person. And seeing Prabhupada angry, he said, Swamiji, why are you so angry? Please chant. And Prabhupada actually picked up his beanbag and he began to chant. And then after the whole thing was over, the whole program was over, Prabhupada went back to his room. And there was one devotee who was very curious to see what Prabhupada must be doing. He was just now so furious, so angry. So what Prabhupada must be doing? And so he just peeked through the door. And he saw Prabhupada was totally relaxed. He was sitting in his chair with his knees in his hands, just rocking. Totally relaxed as if nothing had happened. And so, I don't know if this passage comes in my Glorious Master Witch book. Whoever is the author of that book, he writes that this actually shows that the anger of Prabhupada was totally on a transcendental platform. It was not due to the effect of the modes, but it was because of his concern for the devotees, that he was trying to correct them, he was trying to help them in the devotional service. But it was not due to passion and ignorance. And so, the Lord or his pure devotees may not come under the influence, the Lord definitely doesn't come under the influence of the modes. And similarly, the pure devotee also could not come under the influence of the modes. And so, therefore, that's the difference. Krishna, he is the creator, he is the cause of the modes of material nature, but he himself doesn't come under the influence of the modes. And that is this section. We have about 2 minutes remaining, if there are any comments or questions.
Krishna, just a small question. You mentioned that characteristic of one of the characteristics of the Shakti is that the mind can jump back.
The question is, I mentioned that one of the characteristics of Asakti is that when the mind is, if it forgets Krishna, goes away from Krishna, then jumps back automatically without endeavor. So he's asking, where is that reference? Yeah, I think so, it's in Madhavan. Any other points? Yeah.
What does that actually mean? Is it only a kind of bent of mind? What does that mean?
His bent of mind means his attitude towards the cause of his devotee. Because basically here, we find that Ashwatthama, he killed the 5 sons of Draupadi, and so he's angry because, not because of himself, but he is angry because his devotee has been harmed. Right? Because what is the attitude towards his devotee? Is love for his devotee. And because of that love, that's the reason he's getting angry. It's not because of the influence of the mode. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
I would like to ask, in Sri Shri Upanishad, it says that the Lord is complete,
yes,
perfect.
Yes. Om Purnamada.
Yes. Mm-hmm. How can we relate this to the point that there is external energy? I cannot understand it properly. Something which is Purna, perfect, how can something be external?
Okay, thank you very much for asking the question. This question will lead into our next discussion tomorrow, when Krishna is speaking of the 3 modes of material nature in the 13th and the 14th verse. So if your question doesn't get answered tomorrow, kindly remind me, I'll discuss it tomorrow. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhagavad Gita ki, Jai Jai Bhakta Vrinda ki, Jai Jai Premanande.
How many of you are staying at the Shruti Bhavan? Raise your hand. I've got a few. Or many. How many of you are planning to